Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 308 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her sex. Woo! I'm loving it already. Well, actually, it's her sex points. The hell is that? Well, you're going to find out real soon. We have a terrific show. Before we begin, just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show because we love hearing from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about her.
Oh my goodness gracious. You know, when you sit back and you say to yourself, how, in heaven's name, with all the craziness going on in the world, should I even be talking about having sex, sex in general, reclaiming my sex life? Oh, I don't know. But you know something? It's important. And there's no one better to speak to this than Dr. Batsheva Marcus. Now, who is she? She's a founder and director of Maze Women's Sexual Health, the largest independent women's sexual health center in the country. For 20 years, she has developed and overseen the treatment of thousands of women aged, I love this part, 18, and then switch that sucker around to 81. She's a licensed clinical social worker with a master's in public health, a master's degree in social work, and a master's degree in Jewish studies, and a PhD in human sexuality. Dr. Marcus, welcome to the Her podcast.
I'm so happy to be here, but you have to call me Batsheva because that's what my patients call me. So, yeah.
Okay, then, you know, I'm always starting with the doctor thing first.
I appreciate that. And also Batsheva is such a bitch to say. Oops. Okay.
I know. Well, listen, you know, it's a bitch. Yes. So, why did you write this book?
I wrote this book because I feel like women think of their sex life as a mystery. And I think most women feel kind of lost when it comes to their sex life. Like, you know, I think most of us have heard the statistic, like 43% of women are unhappy with their sex life. But I want you to know, I think the other 57 are kind of lying because most women at some point in their life are just unhappy with their sex lives. And they feel like they don't know what's wrong and they don't really think there's a way to make it better. And so they just don't think about it. And I think that's a terrible approach. And so I wanted to take something that was very complicated or seemed very complicated and make it very simple. And that's what I tried to do in Sex Points.
Now, what are the sex points? Why did you come up with this? It's really a fascinating way to look at this whole reclaiming your sex life with this sort of multi-point system. Tell us about that.
Well, the thing is that for most women, something's wrong. They don't know what is wrong. Like, it's just not working. Like, either they have a little pain or they just aren't interested or they're tired or they can't figure out kind of what is wrong. And I know that if you break things down to their components, it becomes much clearer, not only sort of what things are broken, but how those things affect each other. So, often women will come into my office and they'll plunk themselves down on a chair and they'll say like, Batsheva, what's broken? Like, I need to fix it. And it's like a light switch where, you know, you turn something off, like what's broken, let's fix it. But that's, Pam, that's not how your sex life works. Your sex life is much more like an amalgamation of a lot of different things, points, what I call points. So you're getting points constantly from medications that you're on or medications that you're not on or hormones that you may have as you're an 18-year-old that you don't have when you're 70, or because you've turned your brain off. So now you're not getting any points from your brain or your relationship is points. So the idea is to, you take this questionnaire, which really sort of breaks things down for you. And at the end of taking this questionnaire, you now have kind of a snapshot view of what I think of as four quadrants, whether it's a desire, wanting to have sex, arousal, not getting turned on when you're having sex, orgasm issues, or pain issues. And you have a point profile now on each of these things. And the book explains how that point profile is affecting your life, like your sex life. Why is your sex life is falling apart? Because your point profile is low here and here. And let's start working on getting points in those areas. And then I give you very concrete, easy ways to get points back in those areas. So you feel like you're working with a roadmap. You're not just sort of sitting there with this big bowl of spaghetti and you can't like sort things out. Does that make sense? Or do you need
yes.
to explain it more?
Yes. No. It's very cool. So I'm going to give you an example. Let's just say a 48-year-old woman kind of in the throes of perimenopause, not quite there yet, but you know, everything is shifting in her body and she, in her mind for that matter. And she's sitting back saying, what the heck is going on here? And then she's like, meh, you know, when it comes to sex and
right.
who cares, and maybe that's normal. But then there's this, you know, I love how when it comes to sex, Bathsheba, how everyone always asks that question, what's normal? So I'm 48 and I'm losing interest. At the same time, I'm irritable and impatient. I want to rip people's eyes out because I'm going through perimenopause. And, you know, I'm like one big tsunami of weird hormonal shifts. And so they just give up. There it is. And then that affects the relationship with the partner. And then the whole thing starts going straight to, you know, where. So where would you start with someone like that?
So you kind of just answered the beginning of your question, which I love, which is, you know, what's normal is a little bit irrelevant, right? I don't really care what's normal, ma'am. I care what works in your life. And most women will tell you when they actually stop and think about it and stop, you know, sort of avoiding the subject, that they feel better when their sex life is on track. They feel better about themselves. They feel better about the way they walk through life. They feel better about the relationship. The relationship feels better about them. So it's for those reasons that I feel like this is so important. And, the first thing I would say to a 45-year-old woman is read the book, take the quiz, because different things could be getting in the way. But I will tell you that our hormones drop dramatically as we get older, and we are becoming so aware of how important certain hormones, specifically testosterone, but also estrogen, but testosterone is. And so if what's happening is your vagina is feeling sort of not good and your vagina is giving you trouble, that may be more of an estrogen thing. If your desire isn't there and you just would rather be, you know, doing dishes, then that may be a testosterone thing. But what happens is handing you testosterone or handing you estrogen alone is not going to make the difference. You're also going to have to like put a little work into like getting your fantasy life back, because our brains are plastic. Our brains, you know, are, when we use them, we grow more neurotransmitters. And when you learn how to fantasize and you get back into that kind of way of thinking, it makes it much easier to do that. And the testosterone helps you do that. Now, this is where we see like the points coming in, right? Like the testosterone can give you some points. Your fantasy life may give you additional points. Some like little tricks you do in your relationship could give you some additional points. And it's a matter of kind of looking at where you can garner points from and sort of bringing the whole thing up to a level that what I call 100-point level. So when you're at 100-point level, you're going to be working just fine. So yeah, I mean, I can run you through like the lifespan of a woman with her points shooting up and down. Sometimes that makes it kind of easier. To
yes, like yes, that. Yes. Okay. Oh my God, that would be fantastic, because at the Her podcast, we have women of all ages. And so I want to, you know, have everyone relate to this. So go for it.
Yes. So let's say Tammy walks into my office. Tammy is now 21 years old. She has 90 points from her own health and her hormone level. We all know Tammy at 19, right? She can have sex with pretty much anyone or 21, and she's happy. She can have sex in an airplane bathroom with somebody she just met, and the sex will be good, right? Because she needs just 10 points to hit that threshold. So now Tammy meets this wonderful, fabulous guy. It's, you know, Tammy's now 23, and she falls madly in love. Let's give her 30 points for that. It's hot, new, and erotic. We know that works really well. That's 30 points. So now Tammy's working at, if I'm doing my math right, 150 points. And Tammy's doing great. And she's in this relationship. And it doesn't really matter if the hot new guy, let's call him Jason, is, you know, I don't know, acts like a jerk one day, or she's on a deadline at work and she's exhausted, it doesn't really matter because she's got so many more than that 100 points that even with those things going away, she's going to be okay, right? Except now let's find Tammy, and it's 6 years later, and Tammy is married, and she still loves Jason, so she's got those 30 points, but, you know, it's not so hot, new, and erotic anymore. So she's at 120 points or so, and she's kind of doing okay. And then they have a child, and the child is now banging at the door. So now she's at 100 points, and things seem to be working okay until her hormone level drops, you know, a little bit, or her own hormone profile, or she goes on birth control pills, and that has an effect on her hormone levels, or where they have a second child, and now there's two kids banging at the door, and she's more exhausted. So now Tammy's walking around at 80 points and it's not working. And she feels terrible because, like, what happened to the sexy, hot thing she used to be? And, you know, her partner is upset and it's just not working well. So Tammy goes to her gynecologist and says to her gynecologist, you know, what's the matter? How did I lose my mojo? And the gynecologist says to her, well, Tammy, how was it when you were on vacation? And Tammy goes, it was fine when I was on vacation, I guess. And then the gynecologist, well, I guess it's psychological. Right. And now Tammy leaves and she feels like worse than when she started because, like, what the hell is she supposed to do? She doesn't live in Cancun, you know? So, but if Tammy could understand that her sex life was really not one thing that's wrong, but a combination, she then could look at hormonal options. She could look at creating some more time with her partner. She could look at working on her fantasy life, as we talked about. She could look at getting some vibrators just to make the whole sex faster and better with him. And then the same thing happens. Now Tammy gets older and now Tammy's hitting menopause. Now her hormones have really dropped. And so, you know, all the other things she's doing may not affect her or help her as much as if she needs to have some estrogen because her vagina has, like, gone on strike. And every time she tries to have intercourse, it hurts her. So, so Tammy needs to kind of understand. And here, Pam, is where I think I feel like I'm going on a monologue here. Am I boring you?
No. What I'm loving is that what you're downloading for us from your new book, Sex Points, is sort of a general context so that women understand what's happening over time. And it involves a lot of details. And that's why I'm letting you kind of rock and roll here because, you know, rather than have you chop it up into tiny little bites, let's have everyone kind of have at it and understand, you know, where they fit in this whole context.
So that's exactly it. I feel like if people take one thing away from this podcast, the important thing to remember is that your sex life isn't static. You know, we have this crazy idea that you start learning how to have sex and then your sex life looks like that for your rest of your life. But that's such an outrageous way to think about your sex life because your sex life is constantly changing, right? Like you get older, you're on different medications, your partner's on different medications, your body changes. And your body changes in terms of like how you feel, but it also changes when your knee starts hurting or your back starts hurting you or, you know, or you go on birth control pills or you go off birth control pills or you go on antidepressants and, you know, now you have children and you feel differently about how your body is. And so the trick with your sex life, and this is where I feel like we have lost it in our society, is to understand that your sex life is constantly evolving. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. But if you pay it a little bit of attention and you understand that going in, it stops feeling like an emergency. It just starts feeling like, oh, I kind of need to look at this within the context of my life and make the necessary changes. And if I can understand it that way, it stops feeling so scary. So it's kind of like an exercise regimen or a skin regimen, right? Like you, all your life, you change. Your skin regimen when you're, you know, 22 is not the same as when you're 35 or 42 or 52 or 72 or 82. And that's, you can have a great sex life at any point in your life. You just need to understand what factors are going into it. And so I tried to break that down into a really easy, you know, point system that gives you really practical answers. And that is sex points.
All right. So a woman of any age can really relate to this. She can sit down and she could say, okay, well, I think I get this. And really at the end of the day, I don't have to worry so much about what's normal and what's not normal. I just have to kind of work with myself. Now, my question is, what's the challenge? How does a woman face a challenge of having to deal with a partner who may or may not get this? How do you explain this to a partner about like some of these challenges?
So I have a chapter in the book called Men Are From Mars, and maybe it's time we start exploring Mars. And I think one of the most important things for women to understand is that for the most part, men want to have the men in their life or their partners. It doesn't necessarily have to be men, but let's just focus on men for a moment, because I feel like women in same-sex partnerships somehow have an easier time with the communication. Want to have sex because they want to connect to their partner. And so as long as they feel as though their partner is actually paying attention to this, it is not like just shutting it down and turning away. It becomes very manageable, right? What happens, I've experienced, is that women, as I started saying, feel so terrible about this. Like, they don't really think that there's a solution. They don't understand what's the matter. They think this is just the way it's supposed to be. And so they just avoid. They avoid. And their partners start to feel really, really rejected and don't quite understand what's going on. And that just turns into a very kind of difficult dynamic for a couple. And so, I feel like for most women, the most important thing is to sit down and have a conversation. I talk about this a little bit in the book also, which is, you know, maybe it's time for us to talk about our sex life, honey. Like, clearly it hasn't been working. I would like it to be better. Here are the places where I think it's a problem. I'm trying to understand it. Here's where maybe we could be working together on this. So I do feel like this does start with some very basic communication. In my experience, partners are usually more than happy to kind of jump into the fray and try to help, because they want things to be better, because they want to be having sex.
Okay. So, you know, again, do you also find that women in general have trouble bringing up the subject, you know, instead of like, hey, you know, whatever.
God. Yes.
So how do you have them break the ice and kind of get this thing right?
So, it's not just women. Everybody has trouble talking about sex, which is so ironic, Pam.
Sort of like money. It's sort of like money, you know, because, you know, when people bring up money, too, it's sort of weird. People are like, well, maybe we'll just avoid the topic. It always ends up being kind of contentious, whatever. When it comes to sex, it's just so deeply personal. And I personally think that if you have a rotten communication channel with your partner, good friggin' luck talking about sex. What do you think?
Okay, so here's a really interesting question. I feel like we, you know, it's a chicken or the egg question, right? One of the things I find is that our society has learned to privilege conversation so much over physical contact. So like so many therapists, and I honestly, I feel like this is such a terrible thing. So many couples therapists will say something like, oh, if you fix the communication, then the sex will follow. And I'm here to tell you that that is absolutely not true.
Oh, like, boy. Tell me why.
It may not. Because your verbal communication, that's amazing. And that's great to get that on track. And that's super important. But that doesn't fix your sex life. Your sex life is a separate entity that needs to be fixed also. And I'll even say something more shocking. Fix your sex life and your communication may get better. Right? Like, in other words, we have just learned to privilege this idea that if we can talk and we can be intimate, then verbally, then our sex life will be great. And I'm going to tell you that sometimes, honestly, physical communication can get you back to a track of feeling much more close and much more intimate, and allow you to have that, you know, that verbal emotional connection that you want. I don't know if you ever saw this movie, Hope Springs. It was Bobby Lee Jones and Meryl Streep.
Like,
no, how could you go wrong with those two actors? You have to watch that movie, Pam. It was about an older couple who had stopped having sex in 10 years, and she was so lonely, and she wanted to get their sex life back on track. It was, you know, a little Hollywood, but the thing that I loved about that movie, which was a subtext, it wasn't the main point, was that you saw how the relationship shifted once the sex got back on track. Like, once they were having sex, all of a sudden the playfulness, the being able to like really be with each other, that intimacy happened. And so for us to sit here and say, oh, you know, once you can talk, you'll be able to have sex. I would say in at least that many cases, if you can get physically connected again, your relationship will improve. The whole relationship will improve. So I know that's kind of a
shocking thing. Okay, I screwed that one up.
Oh, you did? Well,
I'm saying I'm screwed, because I have always assumed that if the communication is better, then the sex will flow.
I do not see. There's sometimes that's the case, but very often not, because sometimes, to think about it, it's not always a communication issue. It's it could be a medication issue or a hormone issue or a fact that you have turned your brain off of sex for a while, or she's not feeling sexy issue, or he's actually having some erection issues and he's embarrassed to talk about it issue, or, his testosterone dropped and he's not that interested and he was always the engine issue. So assuming that you guys can, cuddle up and have a conversation, I mean, it may help you guys say, okay, let's figure out what the hell's going on with our sex life. That it will do, maybe, but it may just be stalled right there. As opposed to if the two of you go back to having some good sex, then all of a sudden you're looking at each other across the bed, you're feeling good about yourselves and each other, and you're like, huh, I remember I used to love this person. I used to like hanging out with this person. So I feel like we have to stop society like privileging one over the other so much. So I often say to people that they're having sexual issues, they see a therapist who says, oh, we'll just work on, don't worry about the sex, we'll work on the relationship and the sex will follow, that you should run for the hills. Because that person clearly is not a solid sex therapist. So I know I'm going to get hate mail after this, but I'm just telling you.
I know. Seriously, it's okay. It's okay. We're living in a cancel culture. We'll just cancel
exactly.
You.
Exactly. I can handle that.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. You won't be around anymore.
You got it. I'll just be helping people with their sex
lives. And there
lives.
It is. I know. Just whatever. And living a life of meaning and purpose on the
exactly.
overall. So what about people, come on, you've been married for a while, or you're not even married, you're with someone for a while, and then, it's just a real different thing. They don't, as it were, turn you on anymore. So what do you do?
So you have to do, there's a couple of things you can do, and I talk a lot about this in my book. There's two things. You can dig in the relationship to figure out what things you can find that will still turn you on. And I would argue that in most relationships, we're sort of set up to not to think we really know this person, but if we allow ourselves to see parts of this person that are yet generally not open to the public and us, that we can find, that we can deep dive and find parts of our partner that do actually still turn us on. And I'm also a very big believer in digging into your fantasy life, either by yourself or with your partner, because you want to find the things that are such a turn on to you and are so erotic, and you want to use that and flirt with other people, do whatever you need to do, bring it home to your partner. Because in the end, that sexual energy with your partner is going to have a huge impact on your relationship.
Absolutely fantastic. So as we're bringing this around now, what I'd like you to do is just throw out one bit of wisdom for all of our wonderful Her podcasters, from your book, Sex Points, something that, maybe comes up a lot, and now you just throw it out. It's a nugget. Let's do a nugget.
A nugget. How about vibrators are not kinky sex toys? Vibrators are your friend.
Okay, now, yeah, spend a moment explaining that sucker.
Okay, I feel like vibrators are one of the most underused tool in women's sexual arsenal, because they make sex more fun, easy. They make orgasms better, easier. And for some reason, people don't use them in partnered sex. And I feel like they help women in a way, in a sort of fast, easy, effective way that almost nothing else can do without changing your medical profile. Like, they're just, it's a little astonishing to me, ma'am, that people don't really pay attention to vibrators in partner sex the way they should. And so I talk about that. And if I'm going to leave you with like one sort of fun, easy thing for people to adopt into their sex life, I'd say, like, think about buying an external vibrator, the one that goes on your clitoris, and think about playing with it and using it. Because in the end, sex should be fun and playful.
Okay, well, with that lovely ending, literally.
is that not what you wanted? Did you
oh my
want
God, I
ab-
no, listen, I love it, love it, love it. Everyone, we've been talking, to Dr. Batsheva Marcus, and she is the founder director of the Maze Women's Sexual Health Center. And her book is called Sex Points, Reclaim Your Sex Life with the Revolutionary Multi-Point System. Yay you. And thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast. And everyone out there right now, take a minute to hit iTunes, rate and review the show. And just know that we're waiting to hear from you, especially me, because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD or Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Hey, listen, please stay safe and stay well.